It's Labor Day. It's time to labor in the kitchen with Arthur Schwartz. Good morning, Arthur.
I try not to think of it as labor.
Yeah, I know.
And I keep thinking, well, Labor Day is for people who actually do labor, and they get a day off. I never get a day off. You have to eat every day. I guess I could order in, but it's Monday. I'm not around here. The restaurants are often closed on Mondays, but it's a holiday. Who knows? Anyway, this came up several times in the last few weeks, so I thought the heavens were telling me I should talk about it, which is the way I dress a salad. Now, I'm very proud of the way I dress a salad because my friend Roberto, a true Roman, born living his full life in Rome, once complimented me on the way I dress a salad, and he said, "You're the only person I ever see, other than myself, who knows how to dress a salad." And I feel Roberto knows everything because he's a fabulous cook and a great man. How I do it is, I don't even know where I learned this, but obviously in Italy, because it's an Italian method. And I always say, Italians think dressing is a verb, not a noun. In other words, they don't make dressing and then put it on the salad. They dress the salad. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
No, good. it's a difference. And so it's a process. I don't make dressing in a jar and shake it up to mix it. I don't make it in the bottom of a bowl, which I used to do. That's the French way. But I've always, for the last, 50 years, been making salad this way, which is I put whatever the salad is in the bowl, and then I toss it with my best olive oil. And you want proportions? It's hard to tell. I would say for a couple of quarts of salad, and that's not all that much, by the way, I would use no more than 3 tablespoons of olive oil. 2 might be good enough. And so what I have is the same salad spoon and fork that I have been using since 1972. I'm not joking. And so I know exactly how much oil is in the spoon. And I use 2 spoons of that, and I toss the salad, whatever it is, with the olive oil first. Then I measure out my vinegar. Now, I only use extra virgin olive oil, although I often have more than one, on the counter here. But vinegar, I have an array. I have 3 different red wine vinegars, and you ask why. I have a rather good supermarket quality one. I'm almost finished with that one, so there's not that much left. I have a very special one that I can't get anymore. I bought it at Coluccio, my Italian market. However, I'm not sure why they even import it. It was very expensive, but it was 12% acidity. Now, most vinegar is 6 or 7% acidity, so that's very acid, and I like that quality because you can use less liquid, meaning less vinegar, to get the same bite, the same acidic edge to the salad. And it also happened to be extremely flavorful red wine vinegar, and when I looked closely at the label, there was an address from where it came from, but no real name. It was just called homemade vinegar. When I went back to buy more of it, there was no more of it. So, I'm sort of hoarding that one. Now, I just bought another expensive vinegar. It's made from Barolo wine in the north of Italy, in the Piedmont region. And it is also very flavorful vinegar. I've only made one salad with it so far, but I'm really liking it. Then they also have apple cider vinegar. Sometimes I just want that kind of vinegar. I have rice wine vinegar, if I'm doing something Asian, I suppose. I use rice wine vinegar less for salads and more for other things. Dressings, certainly. And what else do I have here? I have sherry wine vinegar. which is a good substitute for red wine vinegar if you like that flavor. They all have slightly different flavors besides the acidity. So I mostly use red wine. Oh, I have white wine vinegar, of course. And by the way, right now, I'm able to buy, only at this time of the year, I find, a liter, 1 liter bottles of white wine vinegar cheap, meaning under $3 a liter. And why I'm looking for cheap white wine vinegar is if you're doing any pickling, it's great. And I am, in fact, going to pickle some red peppers to use over the next few months, and I'm going to use that. So anyway, I put on the vinegar, and with the vinegar, 90% of the time, I add the salt, meaning I put the salt in the spoon where the vinegar is going to go. I then add the vinegar to the spoon, and using my fork to stir it around a little bit to get it to dissolve. And by the way, I do this all over the bowl, so that if you spill any, you get any extra, it just goes right in the bowl. And that's it. And then I may have to add another spoon of vinegar. We like here half and half oil and vinegar. The classic is three parts oil. The classic French formula is three parts oil to one part vinegar, way too much oil to vinegar for me. I like half and half. And of course, it depends on the acidity of your vinegar, too. You may have to add a dash more or use a dash less. I grind pepper into it. I don't usually put herbs in my basic salads. However, Mr. Harned, with whom I have to eat, often requests oregano. He likes a big pinch of dried oregano in the salad. And by the way, don't bother with fresh oregano. Just dried oregano. And that does give it a little fragrance. I like that. And that's it. That's the whole thing. Salt, pepper, oil, vinegar. And if you want, you could put in torn fresh mint or something like that. By the way, I have very good dried mint always. And so I sometimes, instead of the oregano, I put in a big pinch of dried mint. That's very good. Now, that's just my basic salad. There are so many different salads. That's the one I get the compliments on. But, vinaigrette, by the way, let me pet peeve. I hear even people on TV calling it vinaigrette. It is not vinaigrette. It's a French word. It's vinaigrette. So say vinaigrette if you want to be very American about it, but don't say vinaigrette. Vinaigrette is basically the same thing as what I use Italian-wise, except that you mix it all together. Now, I learned how to make a salad French-style from a woman I took French lessons from in the early 70s, when I went to work as a food writer for I took high school French, but wasn't very good. And I thought, well, if I'm going to be a food writer in those days, you had to learn French. At least you had to be able to talk food French. So I took lessons from this woman who gave French lessons at her table in her apartment, and you learned the words of the table and, of course, some conversation as well because you were sitting at the table eating together. And I learned from her how to make a salad French style. And what she did was she made the whole dressing on the bottom of the salad bowl, and it was oil, vinegar, salt, pepper, a tiny bit of Dijon mustard, which does help to emulsify the oil and vinegar, meaning make a sort of a smooth dressing. And if I recall, she also put in a tiny bit, maybe a half, of a shallot, minced very fine. And that was it. Oil, vinegar, salt, pepper, a tiny bit of Dijon mustard, and you know what? Good lettuce. So the thing is this, we'll get into lettuce in a minute. Oh, and the shallots, of course. I think shallots are optional, but they make a nice addition, especially if it's going to sit around for a while, because then the shallot flavor spreads throughout the dressing. And what she did was she left this dressing at the bottom of the salad bowl, and then she put her cleaned lettuce on top of it. And in that way, you were able to do it all ahead. The lettuce didn't wilt because it wasn't really touching the dressing. You know, as soon as you put an acid dressing on lettuce, I don't care what kind of lettuce it is, even iceberg lettuce, it's going to wilt, at least a little bit. And if it's a tender lettuce like Boston or Bibb, it's going to or leaf lettuce, it's going to wilt a lot. So you just pile the washed and dried leaves on top of the dressing, and then when you go to serve it, you take your salad fork and spoon, and you from the bottom up bring the dressing up. And then turn the leaves of the lettuce around in the dressing, and that's it. So, but a French person might also put that mixture, not in the bottom of the bowl, as I learned from my French teacher, but in a little jar. And you can make that ahead of time, and you can make it in large batches, I suppose. I never do. And keep it in the refrigerator for a while. You could add garlic to it. I would do that at the last minute, really. And you could add herbs to it, whatever you like. And that's it. Now, moving on. That's not the only dressing I ever make. I do make a very good Caesar dressing. I do make a very good blue cheese dressing. I do make a very good Russian and Thousand Island dressing. I think they're pretty much the same, except that Thousand Island has a bunch of herbs in it. If you want to read about Thousand Island dressing, the whole story of that is in my book, Arthur Schwartz's New York City Food, which is still in print, in a beautiful, beautiful soft cover edition, if I may say. And it was, in fact, the book of the year, whatever book year it got published, I think 2004. It was the International Association of Culinary Professionals Book of the Year. So I like that book. Anyway, the whole story of Thousand Island dressing is there, and in fact, it was created in the Thousand Islands, meaning upstate New York, or you could say lower state Canada. Anyway, my Caesar dressing is the one that my friends request, because I still make what you would call a classic, well, it is a classic Caesar dressing, meaning the dressing that was invented by Caesar, now I'm forgetting his last name, at his restaurant in Tijuana in the 1920s. And I make Caesar salad sort of frequently because we love romaine lettuce, and we have a source for romaine that's particularly good romaine lettuce. I mean, really, sweet, crisp, it's great lettuce. So when we're in the mood for that, I make it sometimes with croutons, but usually without the croutons. So it's a classic Caesar, but without croutons. And yes, sometimes we have chicken on top of it. Anyway, the dressing itself is a tiny production. First, and I do this in a mortar and pestle, crush a nice fat clove of garlic. And to get the crushing going, you're going to have to use a big pinch of coarse salt. I have very coarse sea salt, which is what I use. And the sharpness of the salt helps crush the garlic. You can cut the garlic into little pieces to get going if you to start it. But you're going to have to add salt anyway later on. So crush the garlic, and once you get a good crush, add half teaspoon of Dijon mustard and one or maybe two anchovies. And now keep crushing, crushing, crushing. Now you have a paste of garlic, anchovy, mustard, a dash or two of Worcestershire sauce, the juice of half a lemon. Now it's time to add your oil. And so I scrape this mixture, which is now a beautiful base, out of my little mortar and pestle. And I scrape it into a mixing bowl. And to that, I'm going to add an egg yolk. Now, truly, the egg yolk is supposed to be coddled, which is to say you take an egg, you put it in boiling water, you take it out before it gets cooked, and it's just sort of warmed through. I don't bother with all of that. I remember getting Caesar salad made tableside, and they didn't. They said maybe they said the egg had been coddled, but I think it was a raw egg yolk. And by the way, it works fine. And now that we're not scared of egg yolks at raw eggs anymore, we can do that. So I put in my raw egg yolk, and with a fork in the bottom of actually at this point it's the bottom of my salad bowl. I beat the egg yolk into this paste, and then slowly, I add 2/3 cup of olive oil, which makes a really nice dressing. And as you're beating it, you're going to see it becomes sort of mayonnaise-y. It's going to be a thin mayonnaise. It's not going to be thick mayonnaise. I hate when you go to a restaurant and they say they have a Caesar salad and it comes out actually with anchovy-flavored mayonnaise, something like that. Anyway, that is enough dressing for literally 12 cups, three quarts, of torn romaine leaves. And that's my Caesar dressing. Now, today, we're going to have salad today, actually. I'm going to make something I haven't done in years, but I was reminded of it by Jacques Pepin. If those of you who are on Facebook should check out Jacques Pepin's videos on Facebook. I'm not sure he does, they post one every day, but frequently enough that there's ample inspiration for for weeks of cooking. And one of the things Jacques inspired me to make, and I'm going to do today, is his mother's cream salad dressing. And I looked this up, and it's not just Jacques' mother who made this dressing. It's actually a traditional dressing in and around Lyon in France, which is where Jacques Pepin is from, and obviously his mother is from. So it's the simplest thing in the world, but it's only for tender lettuce. So I went out and bought a head of Boston lettuce, which comes in a plastic box with its roots still on, and you know it'll stay fresh for a while in that box. We're going to eat the whole head of lettuce at once, however. I'm just going to rinse it and dry it. And then the cream dressing is 1/4 cup, meaning 4 tablespoons, of heavy cream. And take your whisk, tip the bowl. It's not a lot of cream here. Tip the bowl and whip the cream just a little bit, 15 seconds with a whisk, just to make it a little frothy. And then add, I'm saying, a tablespoon of vinegar, and because I don't want to make it pink, and my vinegar is a pretty dark red, I'm going to use my good white wine vinegar and salt and pepper. That's it. In fact, Jacques salt and peppered the cream before he put in the vinegar, because what vinegar will do is sort of clot the cream and make it thick. And this reminds me of another thing that I was inspired to make by Jacques Pepin, which is posset, which is heavy cream with some sugar. And then you add lemon juice, and it becomes this wonderful cream dessert. The cream firms up, and it's like a pudding, but even smoother. And this cream dressing, I suspect, is going to be also have one of those sort of velvety mouthfeel from the clotting of the cream, very slightly. Now, I don't know. I'm hoping that a tablespoon of vinegar is going to be enough for 4 tablespoons of cream. I'll tell you next week.
It'll be enough. It'll be enough.
I'll tell you. Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, I'm looking forward to that, believe it or not. Things to look forward to, cream dressing. Anyway, today's Labor Day. Most people are out there barbecuing, I guess.
Well, not up here. We're finally getting the rain we've needed.
Oh, and not here, because I hope it's going to rain any minute, because right now the humidity must be 99%. I mean, the air is so heavy. This is why we're going to eat salad today. I'm also going to cook a little something in the morning that we can eat later, because I know it's going to be in the 80s and horrible.
It's funny when you talk about dressing a salad. I used to buy bottled salad dressing. But I don't. I have red wine vinegar and olive oil, And I also make a comeback sauce that I, it's kind of like, well, it's kind of like a comeback sauce, is a cross between a comeback sauce and a Thousand Islands in French. I put a bunch of stuff into it, and it ends up tasting really good.
There is a real name for French dressing. I'm not remembering it right now, but there is a real name. And, you know, they sell this in the supermarkets now. Peter Luger dressing, it's become very famous. It's nothing more than French dressing. What we used to call French dressing. I wouldn't pay $10 for it.
You know,
I think I did say this before, but I did buy a bottle of ranch dressing not that long ago, because, like, ranch dressing is the most popular dressing in America, and we're sort of into eating wedges of iceberg with whatever kind of dressing. Like, I make blue cheese dressing with real blue cheese and sour cream and a little mayonnaise. It's really good. So I wanted to see what the fuss was all about with ranch dressing, but now I make my own ranch dressing, and my proportions for that are easy. One-third buttermilk, one-third mayonnaise, one-third sour cream, all whisked together, and then herbs. And I prefer dill and parsley, lots and lots of dill, especially because dill doesn't hold up very well in the refrigerator, so if I buy a bunch of dill, I want to really make use of it. And some parsley if you have it, or mint is good. Fresh mint is great in a ranch dressing. And then garlic, the essential. I grate my garlic with the microplane, but you can just chop it finely, or very finely, and put that in, and as much or little garlic as you like. And a couple of glugs of Worcestershire sauce. That's my ranch dressing. Salt and pepper.
Comeback sauce is a Southern tradition, and I didn't realize it until I saw somebody on TV one day talking about it, because it's almost like my Thousand Island dressing. It's mayonnaise, ketchup, Worcestershire sauce. Worcestershire sauce, Dijon mustard, hot sauce, smoked paprika, garlic powder, black pepper, you do that to your taste, and salt. And you stir it all together. And I didn't realize what it was because I went after it, because I normally just take mayonnaise and pickle juice and pickles and Worcestershire sauce and garlic and pepper. I didn't realize. So I was only a few steps away from comeback sauce, my Thousand Islands.
I have to do some research on where did this originate?
Louisiana, down south.
Down south.
Yeah, and why they call it comeback sauce, if you served it,
yeah,
and it was like saying, these people will definitely come back to have more.
I figured that it might be something like that. Well, yeah, I, you know what? I have this book. It's like a coffee table unto itself. It's so big. Natalie Dupree's Mastering the Art of Southern Cooking. It is supposedly the be-all, end-all Southern cookbook. And that's why I haven't disposed of it yet. Nobody wants books anymore.
You know, and funny thing about comeback sauce.
But I'm going to look up comeback sauce and see what she has to say about it.
Each state has a little, like Louisiana is a little bit different than Nashville. There's a little bit, you know, they all change just a little bit.
But, well, let me say that Natalie has a more general view of the South, because she is truly not a Southerner, even though she has a Southern accent, and she was very famous as a Southern cook, had a TV show, all that stuff. She's from New Jersey.
There you go.
So she still can look at this food as an outsider, which I think is sometimes more perceptive than if you're an insider.
Yeah. But it's funny, when I saw that you were going to talk about dressing a salad, yeah. I just stopped buying store-bought dressings a long time ago. And
you know, there's no reason. I mean, oil and vinegar, salt and pepper is enough.
Yeah, no.
Really. But let me say, I made a dinner for friends on Saturday night, and one of my friends wanted to see how I make amatriciana, so I showed her, and we ate it, and she said, "Why doesn't my food ever taste like this?" And I know the answer. But I didn't want to say it because her husband was sitting there, and he's the one who does the food shopping. And so it's all about shopping. It's all about the quality of the tomatoes I use, the quality of the pancetta I use, the quality of the olive oil I use. And there's nothing else in there except a tiny bit of onion. So you have three ingredients plus a tiny bit of onion. Those three ingredients better be top quality if you want it to taste top quality in the end. You can't buy, and one of the questions I got was, why don't you, because she saw me crush a can of tomatoes. She said, why don't you just buy crushed tomatoes? I said, because if you were a canner of tomatoes, would you crush your best tomatoes and put them in a can, or would you put your best tomatoes whole in a can? And she got the point, you know. I mean, the whole tomatoes, just by virtue of being whole, are probably better quality than the ones that got crushed and put in a can. Anyway, they make the thing taste good, okay? And I have never seen crushed San Marzano tomatoes, all San Marzano tomatoes, meaning from San Marzano, and those are, to me, what they should taste like. And I do use fresh tomatoes. This time of the year, I make tomato sauce with fresh tomatoes very often. But I also like to use canned tomatoes. They have a different flavor altogether. And for Amatriciana, I guess I could try it today, in fact, because I have some cherry tomatoes. I wonder what Amatriciana with cherry tomatoes would be like. Why not? I'll make it today.
All right.
And then we'll have that with the salad.
All right. Well,
with cream dressing. We'll be very international. French salad. And you know what? Next week, because I don't have time anymore, I need to talk to you about Boston lettuce versus bib lettuce.
Okay.
Versus limestone lettuce. Versus, you tell me, what are the names it's called by? I don't know. So lettuce is enough. Will we be dressing this week? Next week, lettuce.
Let us talk about lettuce next week.
Oh, let us talk about lettuce. Call Jill. Tell her to post that.
Okay.
Take care, guys.
Take care,
have
Arthur.
A great week. Enjoy the holiday.
You too. Bye-bye. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio. RobinHoodRadio.com on the web.